Right? Okay, this morning we'll be in chapter 27 of 1 Samuel.
David, I'm more than
happy with the Bible. That's okay. Cool. No, I don't even believe in that, Bob.
Well, it's bothering me. Yeah. I sunburnt my eyeball.
Okay, that's all right. Chapter 27 of 1 Samuel, verse 1. And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the land of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more in any coast of Israel, so shall I escape out of his hand. And David arose, and he passed over with 600 men that were with him to Achish, the son of Maok, the king of Gath. And David dwelt with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam and Jezreel, the Jezreelites, and Abigail the Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. And it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more again for him. And David said unto Achish, if I now have found grace in your eyes, let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. For why should thy servant dwell in the royal city with you? Then Achish gave him Ziklag that day. Wherefore Ziklag pertains to the kings of Judah to this day. And the time that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a full year and 4 months. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites and the Gezerites and the Amalekites. Those nations were of old in the inhabitants of the land, as you go to Shur, even to the land of Egypt. And David smote the land and left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen and the asses and the camels and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. And Achish said, whither have you made a road today? And David said, against the south of Judah and against the south of Jerahmeelites, and against the south of Canaanites. And David said, neither man nor woman alive, save neither man nor woman alive, to bring tidings to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner, all the while he dwells in the country of the Philistines. And Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people Israel utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. Short passage with a big bite. Okay? There's a big bite in this thing. Again, we know that this book was not written for some external history book, was it? It was written as an internal guide of our lives, and it will show us our faults and weaknesses. It'll also show us our strengths. Okay? Now, we're talking about David, who is who? Type of Christ, which also pins that down a little closer to who? To yourself. Okay? Now, here's what happens in your heart when you have a confrontation with the Saul, who is a type of what? The carnal mind. Okay, now David has just had this confrontation with the carnal mind, with Saul, and this is you, the overcomer, the first fruit, right? Okay? And David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. Tell me what he just said. Doubt, unbelief, fear, insecurity. Hello? When the carnal mind accuses us, even though sometimes it can pat you on the back and tell you you did pretty good, like he ended up telling David, oh, you're going to overcome, don't worry. He was prophesying to him. He was telling him, you're going to win. See, he already knew he was going to win, didn't he? But still that doubt and unbelief creeps into our minds. And he said, there's nothing better for me to do than I should speedily escape to the land of the Philistines. You know what we do? As soon as we have any confrontation in our minds or someone confronts us, we want to run back to the natural land, don't we? We run back and grab a hold of that carnal thinking again. The Philistines' land is the carnal mind. Hello? Well, it's the carnal mind. You know, that Saul is a Philistine, okay? And he's really the king of them, really. So it talks about, I call them dust mites. The Philistines is dust mites. They play in the dust realm, okay? That's the flesh realm. And he said, if I get back there to the land of the dust mites, of the Philistines, into that carnal way of thinking, then Saul will desist from chasing me to seek me anymore in any of the coasts of Israel, and I'll escape. There's what the mind tells you. You can always escape. Always fly away. Wait for that bus to come and get you. You know, don't have to worry about anything. The rapture will be here anytime. Just go over and exist. See, God never called us to exist at any time, did he? Oh, sure we were comfortable. And that's where we go back to. Anytime opposition comes, this is human nature. This is the carnal mind. It always tries to end up in a comfortable position. Wouldn't you agree to that? Does anybody like to be uncomfortable? I mean, I don't like being uncomfortable, even though I know that being uncomfortable in the spirit makes me a better person. It makes me grow more, the opposition, right? But does it still feel good to be there? No. It's very uncomfortable to the flesh. And as long as we're living in this flesh body, we're going to feel uncomfortable. We're going to feel like we're in that solitary confinement in the midst of a room of 100 people. I've sat in a room with hundreds of people and feel like I'm the only person in the room. But see, it doesn't make any difference because I know I have one in there with me, Christ. I know how my big brother is. I know how my father is. And I don't have to worry about anybody else. That's what the natural man wants, the easy way out, and that's what the carnal mind does. It always tries, remember that little saying I used in my office? The path of least resistance makes rivers and men crooked. Okay? So the opposition will make us straight and tall. Okay? We don't need to run away from anything. We need to face our opposition, true or false. And our opposition is not external, is it? The opposition is what our mind tells us in our life every day. That's the thing we have to overcome. So David arose and he passed over with 600 men that were with him into Achish, the son of Maoch, the king of Gath. Now, there's a couple thought processes in this second verse. And David arose and passed over with six. He's still trusting in humanity. Okay? And when we're in this position that we think we can hide out in this carnal realm and get by, we're still messing around with humanity, aren't we? And they were with him, they went with him to Achish. Okay? Now, Achish is a word that means several things. It means I will blacken, I will terrify, or he's only a man. Okay? So Achish is literally only a man. But he's a man that can, with the blacken, be dark and ignorant. There can be ignorance with this humanity. There can be terror in humanity, can't there? And there's a reality that they're only flesh just like you are. So why am I counting in another person with the same mess that I'm in to get me out of the mess I'm in if he's in the same mess I'm in? See? Doesn't make much sense, does it? If I'm in debt up over my ears, do I go to someone who is financially bankrupt to try to help me get out of something? Or would I find someone that knew something about finances? Good things about finances. Right? So we have to realize this. We don't go back to humanity to get our answer. We go to God. It means blackened, to terrify, or only a man. There was literally three meanings in it. It's ignorance in humanity. There's ignorance in the blackening. And there could even be ignorance in the being terrified. Okay. And now, he went to Achish, the son of Maoch. And Maoch means oppression. Okay. When you're in this humanity, you know what you are?
Oppressed.
You're oppressed. And he's the king or the ruler over Gath. This oppression is the ruler over Gath. You know what Gath means? Wine press. Imagine that. When you're in oppression, the one that's ruling you and controlling you is in the wine press. Well, that's where David and his people went, didn't he? Exactly where he wanted them. And guess where you got to go if you're called to be a son of God? Same place he wants you to go, and it's going to be Gath. And you're going to go through that darkness and terrifying stuff and find out it's only humanity and it can't do you any good. All it can do is oppress you and find out you're standing right in the middle of a wine press. And in a wine press, do you know what takes place? The fruit is thrown in there. Know you not that you're the fruit of the earth that God has reaped? And when he puts something of this fruit into the wine press, they begin to twist this big old thing down and it starts pressing. And the more they twist it, the more it presses, and all this wine starts to flow out. But there's one thing that stays in the wine press, Bob. What is it? It's called the flesh of the grape. See? The flesh of that fruit. So when God puts us in this place, it's meant to separate the spirit from the flesh. Hello? Or the spirit and the soul, you could say. All right? Like Hebrews 4 and 12. And David dwelt with it. He's dealing with it on a basis every day, but he dwelt with Achish. And that speaks of the terror, the ignorance, the humanity, right? Of Gath in the wine press. He dealt with this stuff in the wine press, dwelt with it, didn't deal with it, he dwelt with it. Right? He and his men, every man with his household, even David with his two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail the Carmelitess, something like that, Carmelitess, Nabal's wife. Now let's look at the words, what they mean here, and then I'll show you something else. Ahinoam, what's it mean? The brother of pleasantness. This one wife's name was the brother of pleasantness. And the Jezreelite means son of God. The brother of pleasantness, sown by God, and Abigail, father is the source of joy. The Carmelite is the garden land, or literally the mind of Christ, the fool's wife. The fool's wife. Nabal is the fool. Okay? Now, David had two wives here. What did James say of a double-minded what? Literally, it's a two-souled man. Literally, he has two emotional things that he's dealing with. You're unstable in all your ways, true or false. If I'm trying to listen to my emotions, one-sided to Christ and one side to my flesh, guess what? I'm in trouble. I'm in some kind of serious trouble because I'm unstable in my thinking process. Okay? We've got to realize there's only one way to think. It's not with the mind of humanity. I can't go back to that. I can't go to Achish, can I? I have to go back to Christ. Because my beginning is long before Achish. And it was told to Saul that David was fled to the wine press, and he sought no more again for him. Guess what? When you head to the wine press, you know what most people will do to you? Adios. Because they ain't going there after you. They ain't going to jump in the wine press with you to get you. They figure you're going to die in that wine press anyway. They figure when you hit the desert out there by yourself, you're not going to make it back. They ain't coming looking for you. You ever feel like that? When they just write you off? Well, you should feel that way. And don't think it's a wrong feeling. It's a correct feeling because it's a true feeling. They have wrote you off. That's all. Just your discernment's working very well. Most people feel bad. They can feel sometimes rejection, and they think it's wrong. Rejection is something you should be very keen on because sons of God will be rejected. Was Jesus rejected? Okay, except you travel the same path he did. How are you going to get where he got? Can you? You've got to go the same way he went. See? He is the way. You've got to follow his course. Right? And so you have to realize we're going to feel rejection. We're going to feel that isolation, that solitary confinement in the midst of people. You know, what do you think Jesus felt like when he walked amongst these people and no one recognized that he was their creator? What do you think it made him feel like? He knew, but yet he still felt. He still felt the rejection. He felt the pain of it. When they disrespected him, when he'd done nothing wrong. I heard a man this morning reading about all the things that Jesus did. And I wished all the ministries all over the world had heard this man say it, because the man didn't realize what he was saying. He was just saying things. He was saying words. He was that donkey that Balaam had a little conversation with, you know? And he was just saying words, but he was telling all the things that Jesus did, and everything he did, he was always giving of himself, not taking for himself. See? And that's the heart of a servant. And see, preachers have lost that, if they've ever had it. I don't know, there's very few probably through the years that's ever really had it. It's been perverted so bad now that the church world has trained everybody to believe that all the sheep are supposed to gather up, shear themselves, and give it all to the preacher. You know what I mean? Or if not, you're supposed to come there and let the pastor shear you so you can, he can have your wool and you can go out and freeze. Okay? That's not what it's about. The pastors are supposed to be shepherds taking care of the flock. Hello? Did you ever see the sheep taking care of the shepherd? Pattern don't work, does it? Why don't they understand this? Yeah, but why haven't the people woke up to realize it either? They're just sheep. They're just sheep. They're sheeple. Okay? We ought to think a little bit about this. See, it's not about you taking care of me. It's me supposed to be here to help you. I'm the gift to you. Hello? I'm your gift. See? Most people won't receive it, but that's okay. But anyway, David found out that Saul wouldn't come and get him. Carnal mind ain't coming to the wine press. It ain't giving up, okay? And David said to Achish, to the humanity in him, "If I have now found grace in your eyes, then let them give me a place in some town in the country that I may dwell there. Why should their servant dwell in the royal city with you?" Now, you can say, oh, that was humility. Uh-uh. That was low self-esteem. He was hiding out. That wasn't humility in David. David was hiding in humanity, wasn't he? He wanted to go out in the desert and hide out. He didn't want to go out there and change anything. He was hiding for his life. So he said, "If I found favor in your eyes, then give me the country." Right? And then Achish, and there's that carnal mind working, that dust mite, that humanity with terror and everything in it, gave him Ziglag. Okay? What do you think Ziglag means? Okay? Winding or, huh? Well, winding or a measure pressed down, compressed. Kind of like wine press, huh? In the wine press, what's it do? It compresses, see? So he gave him Ziglag. See, even the carnal mind going to give you the same thing. You know why? Because God wants you compressed. He's going to shake you down, going to compress you until he gets everything out of you that he wants out of you. It's not what you're willing to give up. It's what he's wanting to take. And you can hold on all you want, but he's still going to get it. Holding on to it just means you might suffer a little bit more than you would have had to. Okay? Now watch. Achish, and that's that ignorance of and terror and darkness and blackness of humanity, gave him this winding place or this twisting place or this pressed down stuff. Now look what it says that day. "Therefore, Ziglag pertains to the kings of Judah to this day." Do you hear what that says? The twisting, the pressure, the wine pressed, who does it belong to? The kings of Judah. Didn't Peter say, "We are a nation of kings and priests unto our God"? Come on. This testing and pressure is not for the world. It's for the sons of God. It's for the nation of kings and priests we've been called to be. It's not about everybody out there going through the same thing. The whole world gets the sunshine on today, don't they? sun's shining beautiful out here. The good and evil get it, don't they? If it was raining, it would fall on the just and the unjust, wouldn't it? But you know what? The just ones are getting the same thing the unjust ones get, but the unjust ones are angry and upset, and the sons of God should not be. They should be thanking God for the pressure that He's put them in to bring them to maturity. See what I'm saying? It's just like what Lloyd spoke earlier about the three things about the mountain. What was the three things there? Hear a sound coming from the mountain. Then they saw the mountain. And then they were the mountain. See? And it was all it was a different view coming from a different view, the same mountain, was it not? Yeah, this is the same thing. The people that's going through these tests, some people say, well, I guess devil's beating you up. I guess God's mad at you. And you can say, no, He loves me. See, because you see His hand of correction where all they see is punishment. Different eye, different vision, huh? That's all it is. And the time, or literally the word time is the number, it's two words there, the number of days that David dwelt in the country of Philistines was a full year and 4 months, which is not correct. Don't want to shock anybody, but the words are missed here. Okay? In verse 7, the first part it says, and the time, it should say, and the number of days is what it should say, that David dwelt in the country of the Philistines was a day, because the word there is yom, the day, 1 day and 4 months. 1 day and 4 months, not 4 years. A day and 4 months. Still a long time, okay? But guess what? It wasn't a year. It wasn't 14 months, it was 4 months and 1 day. And David and his men went up and invaded the Geshurites. Do you know what the Geshurites are? Huh? It could be a bridge or the beholders of pride. Proud beholders. They behold something in pride. It would be people. I would see that as a people that was a bunch of sheep. Okay? And they were worshiping somebody, weren't they? The wrong one. And the Gezerites. What does that mean? It means cut off. The ones that cut you off. Yep. Pride and being cut off. And the Amalekites. Does anybody know what that means? The Amalekites, all of these were enemies of Israel, but the Amalekites were valley dwellers. That means people down on the bottom. Okay? Low degree of people. So He put them into all of it. Right? They were the lowest form of the people. Because those nations were of old the inhabitants of the land. And the word nations shouldn't even be there. Those were of old the inhabitants of the land. That means from the very beginning that pride and that separation and that low degree of people, that low thinking people, that was what is in the inhabitants of the land. And the land represents what? The mind. So their mind was in that thinking process from the very beginning, or it was a carnal mind. Hello? And remember, the bride has to make herself ready. We have to do some things. So David began to attack these things in himself, correct? He said, as you go to Shur. Do anybody know what Shur represents? It represents a wall. Now, a wall in the desert. See, Shur is out in the desert, but it represents a wall. Remember when I had these things on the board this morning, the separation, I drew the line between them? See, it built walls. And that's the nature that's in humanity from the very beginning, that we want to build and protect ourselves. If you take a person that is raised up in any society in this world, and you take them out in the middle of a desert somewhere and drop them off, you know what the first thing they're going to look for? Something to hide behind, to build some kind of a wall to protect themselves. Are they not? They shelter first. They're going to protect themselves. And see, if we're trusting in God to be our shield and our high tower, then what are we trying to build a tower, build a wall for? We're still trusting in ourselves. I'm not saying you can't live in a house. I'm talking about internal things in us. We get dropped off without someone around us to encourage us and say, hey, you're all right, you're all right, you're all right. Don't worry about it. I'll be here to help you. You get out there by yourself, and the first thing you're going to do is put a wall around yourself. Sure it is. But you know what? I know a guy one time, just not too long ago, he said, you know, I got a wall of ice around me to keep people away, didn't he? See? It's a natural thing to build walls to protect or to defend ourselves. We don't need to defend ourselves or anything else. But the Amalekites, we already went through that, didn't we? We're down in Shur. Okay, Shur was the wall, even to the land of Egypt. And Egypt, speaking of what? The world or duality. Double straits, okay? So even into duality. So the wall in this desert and the land of Egypt, in that land of duality, or the mind of carnality. And David smote the land. Guess what he was doing? He was trying to destroy the things that was destroying him internally. It's an external story telling you about internal things. And David was dealing with these things, and he left neither man nor woman alive, and took away the sheep and the oxen, the asses, the camels, and the apparel, and returned and came to Achish. Now there's a problem with what he did. Tell me what the problem is. No, that's not what I'm saying. He did a good thing, but he did something along with it that shouldn't have been done. Nope, that's part of it. Let me show you. He took neither man or woman alive. He done away with the flesh and the soul. He was doing away with that stuff. He took all the beast nature out. He took away the sheep, the oxen, the ass, and the camels. He took the beast nature with him. He held on to it. And he took the apparel. He wanted to look just like the rest of them. Hello? Do you see it? He took the apparel. Why would you take the apparel of people you didn't want to be? Why would I want to look like, sound like, talk like, act like the world? I'm not supposed to act like, talk like, and look like the world, am I? So why would I take the beast nature with me? Why would I take the apparel with me? Something wrong there, ain't there? See? Because David is still in a process. Okay? He's still the beloved of God. His heart's after a man after God's own heart, isn't he, according to Scripture? God's not upset with him. He used David as a pattern to teach you and I today how our lives are going to be. We're going to think we love God with all our heart, and we don't realize all the baggage we're carrying. Do you hear me? We carry a lot of baggage we don't want to admit to. He was still taking the other stuff instead of letting the Lord be his supply. Okay? He still talked about God and did some godly things, but he still done some things that was ungodly. Do you hear what I'm saying? Doesn't make him not a man of God, meaning he's a man of God in process. Right? Okay. Where am I at? 10? Okay. But he went back to Achish, which was the worldly ways of humanity, right? He went back to the worldly ways of humanity. He kept the beast nature, and he wanted to look like them. And Achish said, where have you made a road today? Or literally it says in the language, where have you plundered today? And David said, against the south of Judah, against the south of Jerahmeel. That word means, may God have pity. And against the south, the Canaanites, or the Smiths. So he got against the Smiths. What are Smiths representative of? With iron and steel, they work with rigid things, don't they? And against the, may God have pity on the Jerahmeelites, or something like that. Boy, these words are tough to pronounce. And against the south of each one of them. They see, he just dealt with the south of each one of them. Now, what's the south speak of? a place of comfort or the lowest realm. See, he didn't really get in and dig them out, did he? He didn't say he smote the whole nation of them, did he? He just took care of part of them. That's exactly what we do. And we have mercy. And see, when he said, may God have pity? No. God does, he said, he told Saul to go in. He told the Jews all the time, go in and don't have pity. Don't look at them with your eye and say, have pity on them. Kill every man, woman, child, and beast in this town. Because it was symbolism. Telling you, you can't take part of the problem in you out and be okay. If you have cancer in your body, you can't go in and cut out 99% of it and leave 1% expected to live, can you? Because that thing will come back and get you. You have to go to the very root of it and remove every shred of it, every cell of that thing. That's why they go back after today in surgeries and they take out, they say, we think we got it all, but we're going to do the radiation treatments just to make sure we get every cell. Because one cell can multiply and come right on back. It's the same thing with the things in our life. If we don't destroy or get rid of all these ites in our land up here, in our mind, all these things, and as many different people as are in the world, there's that many different ites in the land. All the different thoughts in our mind, all the things we've learned from the worldly way of thinking or from the religious church world, all them things are ites that's been planted in our land that should not be there. There's something that should be rooted out and dealt with. Okay, and David's not dealing with all of them, he's dealing with part of them. Okay? But he's dealing with them, that's the main thing. And David saved neither man nor woman alive to bring tidings to the wine press, to Gath, saying, lest they should tell on us, saying, so did David, and so will be his manner all the while he dwells in the country of the Philistine. You know what was driving David right there? Fear. Fear. He was afraid if he left anybody alive, they'd go tell on him and Saul could find him. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. And see, later in David's life, he reaped a whole lot of things that he sowed when he was a young man. We'll get there one of these days, but not there yet. We'll get through the teaching all the way through. And so David had this fear in his mind, and he came to Achish, and Achish says in verse 12, and Achish believed David, saying, he has made his people, Israel, utterly to abhor him, therefore he shall be my servant forever. Now notice who was speaking in this verse. Tell me who was speaking. Achish was literally speaking. It was his thoughts. That was the mind of the dust mites, you know, in the carnal mind. And he thinks because David has his people utterly abhor him that he'll be his servant forever. The word is olam. Yep, sure does. That's what they say. I've done deliverance on people back in days past. And I saw this one lady one time raise up in me and Lois's face and said, you can't have her. She's mine. I'm going to kill her. It's coming out of the natural mind. It's coming out of the carnal mind. But didn't it say it? Sure did. Heard on a few occasions. That one up there just stuck in my mind real quick. What? Abhor means to hate them, despise them. Let me tell you something. When you go dealing with the things of God in your life, when you was in the world, let's put it this way, when you was in the world running with all your friends and you went to them and said, you know what? I'm going to church now. What happened to some of your friends? Goodbye. They left. Was they really your friends? No. When you got into church realm, started going to church on a regular basis and started getting in, walking like the rest of the sheep, and you said, you know what? I've experienced Pentecost with God, so I'm going to move on down the road a little ways. What happened to some of your friends you had in that church? They all said, hey, you're nuts. We don't want nothing to do with you. You're crazy. Now you're in Pentecost and everybody feels like they have reached the pinnacle. Right? And then all of a sudden God comes along and says, got some more for you, come on up. So you tell the people in that Pentecostal experience, I'm going on up, God's got something else for me. I'm going on up the mountain. And they say, you're crazy. What do those people do to you? How many people went up the mountain with you? Very few go up the mountain. They'll go up so far in the mountain, but they ain't going to go to the pinnacle. See? Because they have this pride in their life that they have already attained. And I feel sorry for them. And I would love to be able to give everybody in the world what I have in my heart. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Sure he is. The carnal mind never gives up. My servant Job. Yeah. It's all set up. And you can see these patterns throughout this whole book. I mean the whole book, the whole Bible, the same pattern that God has set everything up for us. Let me tell you, have you ever heard the old saying about politicians? You can tell they're lying when their lips move. You heard that one? Well, see, if you learn to hear the voice of God, you can do the same thing. You can know it's the truth because God spoke it. Right? And anything else you hear in your mind, guess what it is? It's a lie. If you're not very sharp in the languages or in the Bible, in the Scriptures, guess what? Just like what happened to Eve, she'll be convinced a half-truth was a truth. Right? That's why he said, you must love my word. Now I'm going to read my favorite verse. My favorite of all favorites. Psalm 119, verse 165. Okay? And what I'm going to read to you is what God has given me in my heart about this verse. The King James Bible makes it very simple, but it still has a kick in it. But I'm going to read it to you in an expanded version that what I have in my heart about this verse. Psalm 119, verse 165. And I'll wait till you get there. We're not in any hurry. Okay. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now that sounds good, but there's a lot more depth to it, and I want to give you some of it. Here's the expanded version that I have in my heart about it. Abundant health, prosperity, and peace have they which have a strong and emotional desire to possess and to be in the presence of God's direction, of God's teaching, and God's instruction. And nothing exists, no stumbling block, no obstacle, no enticement, or no idol that could cause them to fall away from God.
What version is that, Alan?
That's my version. That's me. That's my interpretation of it. It's my expanded version, yeah. Yeah, my personal expanded version of it. This is what the language speaks to me as I read it, okay? So nothing exists that could cause you to fall away from God, right? Not even the wine press. The wine press will only bring you closer. Okay, just...